Hello, everyone. This is Jasmine C. Gordon, and welcome to MAB Academics. Today, we have a very special guest. We have Donna Drum. Say hello.
Good morning.
Let's start off with an easy question. Who are you? What are you about?
Who am I? I am the Program Director of Legal Studies. I am an attorney who is licensed to practice law in New York State. I'm also licensed to practice in the United States Supreme Court. Although I haven't been there, only to get sworn in, which was fantastic. I am the mother of a daughter who is in New Orleans, and I am the wife of my husband, Marshall.
Very nice. So let's hear a little bit about your educational background.
Well, being in this room, Jasmine, brings back when I was at Marist College, and I was part of the radio team. And what we would do is we would be behind microphones the way that you are, and I would do the newscasts. And then on Sunday nights, I would do music. And basically, because I was coming home from visiting my boyfriend down here, it would be just playing the second side of the Steely Dan album, Asia, so which I loved, or Al Di Meola, for any of you who know that guitarist. So my life was very crazy in my first 2 years. And I said, I better pull up my bootstraps. And then I went to Marymount College, which is now Fordham. And I did what a lot of students do. I transferred. I started out in business, and then I went into education, and I did really great there. And then I said, I'm going to go back to business. And then I worked on Wall Street and then decided to be a lawyer when I was a mother with a child of 6 years old and went to law school at night and then started my legal career.
Amazing. So how long have you been teaching?
I've been teaching at Mercy since 2012 as an adjunct, and I was invited to become a member of the full-time faculty in 2019.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So how did you start at Mercy? What made you think, hey, yeah, Mercy is the place I want to be at?
It started when I was 10 years old in the sense that I grew up right next door to Mercy Dobbs Ferry. I grew up in Hastings-on-Hudson. And we would be passing Mercy College all the time, buying Christmas trees across the street at Aldersgate Church, or going up to Howard Johnson's in Tarrytown. So Mercy has been a part of my life for a long time. And my mom took a course there as a paralegal many years ago. And as far as teaching was concerned, it was brought to my attention by one of the program directors. And she came up to me, she saw me as a lawyer, and she said, hey, I'd like you to teach civil litigation. And I was invited to teach that way. So many lawyers say that they would love to be teachers or that their parents were teachers. And if you think about it, every class that I go to, I'm performing in a way. I have an audience and people are listening. So there is that aspect of being a lawyer and being a professor that are very, very similar.
What are all the courses you teach here at Mercy College? And which one is your favorite?
My favorite is the Introduction to Legal Studies.
Why is that?
Because I get to see students who are being introduced to legal studies for the first time in their lives. And they're, you know, thinking, my first question is, why are you in this class? Why the law? And it gives me an opportunity to see the stars in their eyes, the hopes and the dreams they have for the justice system in America. And also, because seeing the students in this first intro course, I get to see them throughout their whole careers in the legal studies program. The other courses that I teach are civil litigation, evidence, the art of legal reasoning.
Are you currently participating in any extracurricular activities?
I'm a member of the Faculty Senate, and I am on the Committee on Committees for the Faculty Senate, which I think is, don't tell anybody, one of the funniest names I've ever heard for a committee, but it's giving me an opportunity to learn about all the different areas that the faculty is concerned with throughout the college. I am also on the Student Conduct Appeals Board. So I tell my students this all the time. You never want to be before me on that board. So that is if students violate one of the parts of the student conduct code, then they will first have the opportunity of being told what that violation was and what the sanction is. And secondly, they have a right to appeal. And myself and three other members are on that, and we get to really make some very serious decisions about the student's future here at Mercy.
Wow. So many students may not have heard of the Faculty Senate. Can you tell us a little more about that and what the purpose of it is?
Sure. So think about the United States Senate. The United States Senate is filled with people who were elected by the people they represent to go before and speak about the issues and create change. So Mercy College has the same thing. We are divided into schools, and each school has representatives based on the amount of faculty. The representatives are called senators, and we meet on a monthly basis, and we talk about the things that are affecting our ability to teach, how we can teach in a more excellent environment, and that always, always flows through to the students.
I like that. I've realized a lot of the faculty has the backbone they need at Mercy. And I feel like a lot of schools might not be able to do that for a lot of their faculty. But I love that Mercy does that for faculty and students. So it's like everybody's getting a little bit of the Mercy love.
Well, if I may, one of your first questions was why I love Mercy and why I love to teach at Mercy. And from my first experience in 2012, I always felt that my faculty advisors had my back, that my mentor had my back, and that I could go to them with any questions that I had. So that really helped with my learning curve. And I do that now with my colleagues as well. We have each other's back.
I love that. So tell us about your work experience before you started at Mercy.
Like many students will see in their lives, my path has taken different roads. I first started on Wall Street, and I was a Fed funds trader. So I was on a crazy trading floor, and there were only three women and a very male-oriented experience. And then I was promoted to work in the World Trade Center, and I got to work on one of the first internet systems that had messages of financial information throughout the world. And I went throughout the world to market this program that talked about the world economy. And then I became open to technology, and I marketed one of the first email systems that was created. So I would go into people's offices and big insurance companies on Wall Street, and they'd say, "What is this email? Why can't I just have my secretary type out a message? What is this? Why can't I use a fax to send my messages?" They didn't know what email was. So that was so exciting for me to be introducing a new technology, which now is part of our lives. And then after that, I got married and worked with my husband in our auto body shop in Larchmont, New York. So I got a lot of walk-in client experience from there. And that's where I met somebody from Pace Law School who said that he was going to law school at night. And I said, "What? You can go to law school at night?" And that started my empowerment to take the LSAT test, to find out what the financing was, to figure out my childcare. And step by step, I was able to go to law school at night. And then I graduated from law school, and I worked with a small law firm. I worked with judges. I took many internships. Every single break, I had an internship. So I always advised my students to have internships. And I had an interview with a firm that was starting in Armonk, New York, which is about 15 minutes from where I live. And I didn't make, they didn't pick me. I was very disappointed. 6 months later, they call me because the person that they picked turned out to be a dud. They should have picked me in the first place. So I was hired. And that ended up to be one of the top law firms in the country. And I was there for 7 years, and then I was hired by the Westchester County Bar Association to be their executive director. So that gave me an opportunity to be working with 1,800 members of the association, which are lawyers and paralegals and judges, and to really become embedded in the Westchester County, Rockland, and to some extent Manhattan legal environment. And that's where I met Donna Bookin from Mercy, who invited me to teach, and then I became full-time at Mercy. In between that period of time, I started my own law firm called Durham Advocacy, and my own law firm, what I practice on is only getting accommodations for people in the courtroom, in schools, and in their housing situations. So that became a passion of mine. So now I'm a full-time professor and a part-time lawyer. When I was an adjunct professor, I was a part-time professor and a full-time lawyer.
Very nice. Resume is like 10 pages long. We'd love to see that.
That's because I'm old.
How do you balance being a full-time professor and having a family?
One of the things I learned from my favorite boss of all time was to blend family, fun, and work. I was part of his scheduling team. He would be in three states as a managing partner of this law firm. He'd be going to court in three different states. He would be traveling around the world. He would be very, very much in demand. But he had time for the vacations with his family. He had time to go out to dinner with his wife. And it was just put on a schedule. So my day with my family, especially when my daughter was growing up and I was going to law school, because she was 6 years old when I started law school, was to have it all. We were taught in the 70s as women, we could have it all. And I did. It was, you know, I'd have the birthday parties for my daughter. I would make sure that I scheduled and saw her after school. And then I became divorced. So scheduling became even more difficult, working in a very competitive law firm, having a young child, and balancing the trials and tribulations of divorce. The other thing about me is that I love schedules. I love books about schedules. I love schedules on the internet. I love schedules on Outlook. I love scheduled books. And they called me the scheduling queen in law school. So taking ownership of your time as opposed to time taking ownership of you is how I would say you create balance to go after the goals that you want in life.
Very nice. How did you get to know all the people that you know now? Do you have any networking strategies that you use?
Networking is one of my favorite activities, and I've written articles on it. I come from a large family. There's five kids in my family, and one of the greatest parts of me growing up was playing with them, playing with their friends. There were 64 kids on my block. So meeting people and meeting people who know people and my parents and their friends and babysitting for all sorts of families and just being in that environment exposed me to the importance of knowing people. And I carried that on in my high school and college years and in my professional life. What I say is every time I leave the house is a networking opportunity. I left the house today and I met you. Who knows what we might be able to do in the future or when our paths may cross. LinkedIn, you'll see that I have lots and lots of connections on LinkedIn. I am a connector. People are different things. I am a connector. So if you are talking to me, I'm probably going to have you write down two or three names of people that can help you if I can. So that's networking is a very, very powerful thing in my life. I love meeting people. And I think it comes from being a member of a large family.
I love that. I feel like if you like meeting people, people will like to meet you. So I saw that you did not write not one, but three books. Can you tell us a little bit about them?
Well, I can't take all the credit. I was involved in editing those books. Mm-hmm. In two of the books, I wrote chapters for them. And the first book, my boss, David Boies, was asked to write a book. And as part of my work, I was the team that would put together the resources and the research because it was all about the cases, the top cases that he argued. And he would ask me to research and then he would handwrite the chapters. And then he would ask us to type in the chapters to send to the editor. And then I would be speaking to the editor and then it would go to my boss. And we would do that again and again and again and again. So that was a great experience of actually being in the mind, being in the handwriting of an author. And the other way that I was asked to write a chapter in a book was through networking. I was a member of the New York State Bar Association and met somebody who was writing a book. And she said, hey, you know, I really think your knowledge in this area is important. Would you like to write a chapter? So that was another way. And I've edited her books also as a result of it. So I look forward to writing more. But there's lots of different ways that you can become published that you'd never think.
So do you think that she'll be writing your own book anytime soon?
I have one.
Really?
Yeah, I have one. It's about a woman who was a real estate agent, and her husband was involved in a Ponzi scheme, and he stole $1.5 million from his friends to say, I'm going to invest that money for you. Well, he invested it in himself mm-hmm. and not in what he said he was going to do. So the wife, who had then divorced him when she found this out and lost everything and was living in a trailer, the government then went after the wife, and she had nothing to do with it. So she's in Arizona. Her name is Cindy White, and she fought through the Arizona courts to get that law changed, that as an ex-spouse, the government shouldn't have to go after the ex-spouse if the other spouse committed that wrong. So we decided to write a book together, and I've taken courses, and I have about 3 or 4 drafts, and it's a work in progress, and I'm now devoting my time to my students, but I have it in about 4 or 5 Word documents.
Very exciting. I cannot wait to read it. What is the importance for non-lawyers and non-law students to know about the law?
That the law is accessible to them. They don't have to hire a lawyer to do many, many things. If you're getting evicted out of your house, there are people that can help you, especially in New York City. And they're not lawyers, and they can help you. They're called court navigators. Where we are in the law right now is that it has become so expensive that it has made the impression of people who need legal services that they can't get them. One of my visions here at Mercy College is to be educating students to be paralegals, and the path could be law school, but if it's not, they can still make a difference. They can still have the ability to help somebody who wants to get a divorce and fill out those forms to start the divorce. They can help somebody fill out the forms for Medicare or Medicaid so that that person will become eligible.
How would you recommend current undergrad students to expand their network?
Get an internship. Speak to their professors and see who their professors know. The reason why they were hired at Mercy College was because they have a network. The professors have a network. The professors will be more than happy to say, hey, go and speak to my friend who's in this area that you're interested in for 15 minutes. In fact, we have EPIC, as you know, EPIC, and part of those assignments is to have an informational interview. And so we have the skills available at Mercy to build up your confidence and to call someone you don't know, or to ask a professor to make an introduction. So that's a way that students can expand their network. They have it right at their fingertips through the Office of Professional and Career Development and through their professors.
Take advantage of every opportunity that Mercy gives you guys. We have a lot of things being handed to us. Just make sure you take a hold of it.
Absolutely.
As a woman who's worked in a male-dominated industry, what helped you succeed and what recommendations do you have for other women today?
I have 3 brothers, so being around, you know, young men and men, I was always very comfortable with to begin with. So I walked in knowing that I was the same because I was brought up to be the same, except my brothers who are younger always got a later curfew than I did, and I hated that, probably why I'm a lawyer. And I think it's at this time, it's not just about being a woman. It's about being confident. And, you know, how I look is not how I'm going to work. How I make you feel is how I'm going to work. The results that I produce is how I'm going to work. And we need to be able to communicate how we're going to work with one another in order to get that job, in order to get on that project to make change.
Very wise words. I love that. It's not how I look, it's how I work. Do you have any other tips or recommendations for our current undergrad student?
Have a great time. Explore. Put in your hours. Work, 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 but have fun. Use this investment. This is your investment of your money. You put in the investment of your time, and you can create your future.
Thank you so much for being a very special guest on today's show. And thank you, Mavs, for listening in today. Once again, this is Jasmine C. Gordon, and this was
Mav Academics.
Thank you for tuning in to today's show, Mav Academics. You can email us at mavcast@mercy.edu. That is M-A-V-C-A-S-T at mercy.edu. With suggestions of whom you would like to hear from and what questions you would like us to ask. Make sure to tune in to our Friday show, Mav Mailbag.
Hey, Mavs. Make sure to tune in to our shows every day of the week. We have Mav Life on Mondays. On Mav Life, we will be highlighting all campus activities, associations, and events. Mav Sports will be on Tuesday. We will be highlighting all of our athletes and sports on campus, including esports. Mav Spotlight will be our Wednesday show. In the Mav Spotlight, we are highlighting all of our alumni, getting to know them a little better, seeing how they achieve their success and what tips and advice they have for us. The Mav Academic Show will be on Thursdays. Get to know our faculty a little bit better. What makes our professors so interesting, intriguing? How did they get their positions? And on Fridays, the Mav Mailbag Show, in which we will be highlighting different services throughout the Mercy campuses, and we will be responding to feedback from all of our listeners. Our shows will be available across multiple platforms: the Omni Channel, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Deezer, GeoSavant, iHeart, Amazon Music, and soon to come on the Mercy website. Make sure to tune in.
The Mercy Mapcast is looking for corresponding hosts on our Dobbs Ferry and Bronx campuses.
To inquire, you can email us at mavcast@mercy.edu. That's M-A-V-C-A-S-T @mercy.edu.